Welcome again, everybody. The first time I was timekeeper, I did a walk like Kelly was doing, only I did a spiral and I was in the middle of the circle and I couldn't get out without help from somebody else. So bows to Kelly for leading us through the hall. And the serious thing about that is there are a lot of people here. You know, it's a really full hall. I feel it sitting here, but especially walking around, it was really, it was wonderful. So that's a great delight, and it's a good sign, I think. And also, it's a difficult time still, and for various reasons, there are a lot of people who signed up for the retreat who were not able to be here. So there'd be even more of us if that hadn't happened. But of course, it does happen. And I know many of those people are going to be sitting with us in spirit during the week, so I hope we can return the blessing and sit with them in spirit as well. It's also a great delight to finally host the Mahasangha retreat here in Tucson. So I think the fourth Mahasangha and all the other ones have been up in Colorado, and it's really wonderful to be able to host one and have people come on down and spend time with us in the Sonoran Desert. It's been a real dream team also, the retreat planning committee, sort of sliding seamlessly now into the leadership team, has been just a complete joy to work with. I do want to mention, you know, since we're here in Tucson and we're doing the hosting, special thanks to, shout out to Connie, who did, as I think she put it herself, a lot of the hunting and gathering. There's a lot of work that goes into putting on the retreat in so many ways, but there's a lot of stuff that's come here, some of which is in the hall and some of which, you know, will be in your tummies later in the week from the snacks and so on. So a special thanks to Connie for that. All right. So welcome to Riding the Dragon Retreat. All aboard and don't miss it. But actually not to worry, because you can't miss it, because we're all always already riding the dragon. And here's just a tiny little thing from David Hinton on dragons, a couple sentences. It says, primal emptiness separated into heaven and earth. That's how it all began. Before long, a pair of dragons emerged from Bright Prosperity Mountain, Root Dragon and Lady She Voice. Now, dragons in ancient China embodied the awesome force of change. A dragon was in constant transformation, writhing through all creation and all destruction, shaping itself into the 10,000 things, tumbling through their traceless transformations. So we can't really be outside that, can we? But a lot of the times, maybe we don't feel like we're riding the dragon, and I think we think we're outside it. And I think sometimes we feel like, oh, I'd prefer not to get on the dragon, thank you very much. You know, I'd rather stand on the sidelines and not be involved in that ceaseless going and coming and changing and morphing. So one thing I wanted to offer tonight, or actually all I want to offer tonight, and I'll come back to it in another talk later, is just a kind of few suggestions for how we might experience ourselves as riding on it during the retreat. And they might be idiosyncratic, so they're meant as invitations and not at all as prescriptions. So the first thing is, since dragon is energy and change and flow, anything that we can feel carrying us along, anything that we can feel that we're flowing on, anything that lifts us up in a way out of ourselves, that's dragon. Sometimes it happens really suddenly, sometimes it happens really gradually, sometimes we slip into it, sometimes we struggle to do it, and sometimes we struggle against it, and all that's fine. So here are just a few kinds of flow that might lift us up during the retreat, and I just encourage you, insofar as any of them comes for you or works for you or seems like an invitation, to not turn it away or not turn away from it. So the first thing, and the leaders have already talked about this, but it's just the flow of the retreat day and its particular activities. And so we say that at the beginning of a retreat, we feel like we're carrying the retreat or we're carrying the forms. But after a while, it's as if the forms are carrying us and we're just flowing with it. It's pretty normal during a retreat to have things you like and dislike, and nothing wrong with that really. But gradually, if you can feel yourself kind of letting go of that, there's for sure a wisdom and a flow to the forms. And if you can ride on those, that's all to the good, I think. A lot of times it's a kind of body sensation too, that you really can feel the retreat carrying you along and kind of lifting you up. Another flow would be the flow of our own thoughts. And again, it's really You know, I certainly do this. Oh, I don't want to have this thought. I want to have that other thought. I don't want to have this experience. I want to have the other experience. Or I wish my mind would just get quiet. But especially in the course of the retreat, as our thoughts get a little fuzzy and it's a little harder to keep track of them, that can feel a little disconcerting. But I think that's all to the good. You kind of lost the thread of your thinking. That's fine. And in those moments, maybe on the one hand, you know, we're kind of cogitating and figuring out and thinking about the dragon or thinking about whatever we're thinking about. But in those moments, it's really our thoughts just are the dragon. Our thoughts are the flow of riding along with the dragon. So that's a good thing too, I think. Then Kelly mentioned, being off clock time. And one of the things that happens for me when I get a little bit into that is I become aware of the various kind of rhythms and times that are going on around me. Things are sort of moving in so many different tempos, you know. So there's the speed of the birds, there's the sound of the bells, there's the sitting period, there's the flow of your own breathing, there's the light moving across the zendo really slowly. And maybe especially if you're not from around here, there's a really, really big stillness, very, very, very slow, almost kind of archaic rhythm that you can feel in desert space sometimes. And again, you can sort of ride in and among those, and you can feel the rhythm of your body as kind of dancing with and among them in a kind of counterpoint. But that's another kind of flow that I think you can really immerse yourself in. And then there's a particular thing that you might catch, and my weird name for it is kinetic identification. And I just mean that kinetic would have to do with some particular thing kind of moving in the way it moves. And a lot of times you'll be looking at it, but you kind of get a kind of echo of the movement in your own body. You know, so they're not called tree limbs for nothing. You know, if you see a tree waving in the breeze, if you're sitting in the hall, you're probably not going to wave your arm like this. But you can really feel that in your own body. There's a really beautiful thing that the poet Keats says in a letter. He says, "Or if a sparrow come before my window, I take part in its existence and pick about the gravel." And you can feel, you know, that sparrow in yourself. And all those, again, are ways of being kind of lifted out of yourself and into something else. And then just really to be idiosyncratic again, I would suggest water is almost always great, you know. So there's not a lot of it here, in fact, but water in your imagination will do very nicely, I think. Whether it's ocean or river, there's the sense of flow, of course, and there really is that sense of being kind of buoyed up. So I would suggest that if in your meditation water comes to visit you, think twice before you turn it away and think you better get back to what's serious. So that sense is really important, sort of flowing on the sort of buoyancy of water. There's a, I can't remember the cut, but there's a Charlie Parker track. The title is Drifting on a Reed. And I really love that for a couple reasons. So there's partly that, you know, like a reed in the water that you could drift on. But of course, it's also the number 5 Rico reed that he played. So there's the sound of it also, and that sort of mingling of body movement and the flow of sound, the kind of slight synesthesia of that is also another way of being lifted out of ourselves. Also, just in general, I don't know if this is legit, but I would say in general, soft is good and blurry or fuzzy is good. So I'll be talking about that some more tomorrow night. And anyway, so I think all these things lift you out of your separate self and lift you into riding the dragon, which we're doing already, but you get to become aware of it. And I think also that these experiences build on you and build, I'm sorry, they build on one another. They build on you too, but they build on one another and they're cumulative, you know. So who knows in 3-4 days where your body and mind might be. Welcome again. Thank you.
Are you going in?
Hi. I'd like to suggest that we just sit for just a minute and just let what Tony said settle in and drift around in you, and then I'll talk a little bit. So it feels like a really wondrous thing to me that here we are. And I love the suggestions that you made, Tenny. And so I won't double down on those so much as to just share a couple of observations. In the time coming towards sort of feeling a flow towards this retreat, a couple of things. One, I've just spent a fair bit of time in my own heart mind with just that image of riding, and of Wanyin riding a dragon with ease, and the sense of ease itself riding on and being carried by the very kind of undefinable, in a way, power of that dragon calls forth. Dragons, you know, in the clouds for an instant and then changing. Dragons in the flow of the river. Dragons in the waterfall or behind the waterfall. Dragons in the wave crests. Dragons in the rocks. And dragons in inner as well. The dragons of uncontrollable emotion, the dragons of invention, the way thoughts come and change and go, and the way time is so mutable. And I felt this also so much in really in the community work that went into making it possible for us to be here in silence for days, to support each other's presence, really. And I, just as we sat just now, that all of the air moving in the room and our breaths being together, there's aliveness just right here with nothing else having to be done. And so all of this doing that each of us has done in preparation to being able to be here, we can ride on that also. And this is so much a time when we can let ourselves be carried. And truly find out what that's like. And so in meditation, sitting and breathing together, we are allowed a kind of falling into our own curiosity, our own questions, our own wonder at how can this possibly be? And so my encouragement would be to let yourself fall all the way into the questions of your own heart, mind, wordless questions even, just the sense of, what is this like? And to trust that and not have it have to accomplish anything. You know, how about that you don't have to accomplish anything all week? You have no job, only your retreat job. And so the one other observation was about driving down the long highway from Colorado Springs into one landscape after another, with rock forms changing, with sky forms changing, with the river on one side changing, with the railroad track on one side kind of changing, different kinds of cars, different graffiti, different stages of disrepair. But this sense of being between the sort of human morphing and the land morphing, just the sort of wonder of that, and then entering this wonderland I've never visited before, the Sonoran Desert, where time suddenly, maybe not so suddenly, but gradually, changes as I enter, and I feel this thing that David Hinton's also written about how in our unguarded, in our unmanufactured moments, with a pre-language or with language allowed to be equally dragon-like, then there is a sense of time that's spread out around us, a sense of being that is spread out around us, kind of what Dogen talks about as being time, where we're not so linear. And so all of these things we've done to create this field of generosity for each other that then holds everyone in its embrace, all of the suffering of the world, all of the delights of the globe mallow flowers, those orange ones in the growing out of the gravel, and indulge it all the way. That's what I have to say.
Welcome, everyone, and welcome to all of our differences. Welcome to all of your identities. Welcome to all of your young parts that might be having a tantrum or maybe feeling really excited. Welcome to your anxiety. Welcome to your feeling of being an outsider. Welcome to your feeling of being an insider. Welcome to the uncertainty that this first night holds. Welcome to the ways that you feel different from other people. Welcome to your sorrows and your burdens. All are welcome. All are welcome. And may we all come together in all of these ways during this retreat with compassion. We're talking about riding the dragon and the way of compassion. And I hope that we can really just bring it to the front and center of our heart minds, especially towards ourselves. Be kind, please, be kind to yourself. Be kind to all that is uncertain, all that feels painful. Be kind to the ways that you feel like you may be messing up. Be kind to each other. Just lead with kindness. When in doubt, just be kind, please. We are gathered here today on the ancestral lands of the Hohokam people. And some of you may have seen or will see the amazing petroglyphs that are on this ancestral land that are hundreds, maybe thousands of years old. And one of the amazing images that you'll see is of a group of people hand in hand dancing. Just like we are, just as we will all week. So welcome to our differences, and welcome to our singing and dancing and sitting and moving together as one body. And welcome to our movements in and out and in between all of that, until perhaps it becomes a blur and a little weird. And that's a place where things get interesting. So please welcome all in your heart that is suffering, that feels different, and we'll know that we're all gathering with these things, and that we will be dancing together as one people in this sacred land. And as Tenny and Sarah have said, the time will start to become stranger, and we may feel dancing with the Hohokam people, as well as with each other and the ancestors of our tradition. And may we all just honor each other and the spirit of this place. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's good to see your faces. Some for the very first time. Some for the first time beyond a little box on a screen. Some for the first time in a little while, and some for the first time in a long while. I'm glad to be here with you all and with each of you, us here together, creating this and discovering what it is as we go. And I'd like to offer something for you to keep in your pocket and or serve as a denominator for the days to come and maybe beyond, you know, to all your activities and inactivities and all else, thoughts, wonderings, wanderings. Some of you who have served on the leadership role of retreats before might recognize a question that I'm going to bring up in a moment that I would offer whenever maybe something came up of, what do we do here? Something wants to happen, something wants to change, something wants to be created. And I would bring in the question of, what does the retreat want? Yeah? What does the retreat want? For this retreat, and for all of us, regardless of role, because we're all here, the question for your pocket as your denominator is, what does the dragon want? Yeah? Because we come with ideas of what a retreat is and what we want to get out of it, and that influences our activities and our actions. So maybe you're feeling tired at the end of the day, but you're like, I'm going to sit up into the night and sit longer because this retreat is rare and precious, and it's an opportunity that doesn't come around very often. Oh, but I'm tired. Ask yourself, well, what does the dragon want? And listen. Yeah? And then do that. Or maybe in the middle of the day, you've been saying, I was told I can take care of myself. I'm going to take a break and maybe take a nap. Although I could go back and sit and keep going. What do I do? What do I do? Well, what does the dragon want? Do that. Yeah. And for some, we have this idea of austerity. You know, we come here to do the minimal, to kind of hold it close. Just what we need, just enough, you know, to be on that edge. But then you see the cheesecake. And there's three different kinds. So ask yourself, what does the dragon want? and do that, all three. And then over time, over the course of the days, you will likely find the distance and the gap between you and Dragon lessening. And your question may become, what does the dragon do? Follow that. And then further on, more intimate, no separation at all, alive right within you, what is the dragon doing? And it's you, exactly as you are, doing exactly what you're doing, fully and deeply, holding and being held completely. And you can trust it all. Thank you.